Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, dear listeners, wherever you're based. Welcome back to a new episode of The Mental Manager, the podcast that strives to create a mental toolbox that you can use whenever you feel overwhelmed or just want to get out of whatever you're doing at the moment. Today is another very exciting episode for us because we are joined by Sean Doherty, who is connecting with us all the way from the most northern point of Ireland, if I got that right. And he is a breathwork facilitator, oxygen advantage coach, and mindset student. So we're very excited to have a conversation with him today about all of that, which is a lot. So that's exciting. And before we do that, of course, we want to check in with each other, see how we are all doing, how our own mental health is. And we welcome you to, whilst we're doing that, also check in with yourself. How is your own mental health today? And then maybe how you can learn a thing or two in our podcast today and utilize that immediately, just as an idea. So with that, Martin, how are you doing today on a scale of 1 to 5?
Hey, Silke. So great to reconnect with you again after, what is it, a month's time since we recorded the last time. I think it was very low for me last time. I think it was down to a 2 or so because I had slept very bad or was in a period where I slept very bad. Today, a clear 5. Things are going super well. Glad to be back connected with you here to record another exciting episode. So, and you, Silke, how are you feeling?
Thank you. I would also say between a 4 and a 5, I've had enough sleep. That's always a bonus. And I would say at the moment, it's a little bit bittersweet for me. I've got 3 weeks left on paternity leave. And whilst I am definitely looking forward to returning to work, I do enjoy work. It's also bittersweet because, you know, I won't have that much time to spend with the family and with the baby and so on. So, but at the same time, it means that it's now over to my husband to do the night shift. So I can't complain about that. And Sean, very welcome to our podcast. And as a first question for you, how are you feeling today?
Thank you. Right now, I'm a 5. If you'd have asked me 3 or 4 hours ago, I might have said a 2 or 3 for no particular reason. The ego wants to jump on here and say I'm 5 all the time, but I think that would defeat the purpose of this podcast. So I'd best be honest. it's not all good all the time, but right now I'm feeling good.
Do you know, I like that you immediately reference the ego because it's so true that I think there is this expectation of ourselves and this conditioning, I think, of a lot of people, most of humanity probably, where we think when we're being asked, how are you? Then the immediate go-to is, I'm great, everything's fantastic. When really, when we truly hang on for a second and sit down and really think about it, then the answer might be very different. So that's that's a good point. But
it is tempting to answer, do you really want to know how I am?
Yeah. Sometimes. How long have you got?
Exactly. So true. Sean, so really glad to have you here. And when I was started researching a little bit for this session, I found a LinkedIn post that you made a couple of weeks ago, which I think might be a really good starting point for our conversation today. If it's okay for you, then I'd just like to read it to give us a starting point.
Yeah, please do.
So this is the LinkedIn post that you had, which is just found one of my first goal lists from 2016. Have a functioning immune system was on there. The life that you are living today, you only dreamt of years ago. Grateful this Sunday afternoon. So very grateful. Could you share a little bit about the background of this post? And
it's one of those questions that's how long have you got? I was diagnosed 10 years ago in August with stage 3B Hodgkin's lymphoma. Cancer, for anyone that, like me, didn't know what that meant. I'll give a very, very brief run through. So it was a very positive diagnosis, I was told. 90% of people will come through this in 6 months to 8 months, and you'll be back in London working as an engineer in no time. I fell into the 10% that didn't come through it, so went through treatment, more treatment, had radiotherapy, stem cell transplant that failed, had experimental chemo that failed, then was told late 2013, there's nothing we can do for you, pack your bags and we'll see you on the other side. So I started then doing my own experimenting, changed my diet, changed my lifestyle, looked at the thought patterns I was having. I still remember the first time someone told me that it's your actions that brought you here. It's your fault. The anger that I felt initially at that. And then a couple of weeks later, when you process it and realize, well, when it's my fault, I have control of it. But through different things over the years, ended up, as you're aware, survived. I'm here talking. But one of the side effects was that I didn't have, my hemoglobin wasn't functioning. So my bone marrow was completely battered from treatment. And my ability to fight off infection wasn't there. So I was taking 2 injections a week of Neupogen, which artificially inflates your immune system. And I was taking 1 injection a week of EPO. And that the exact same EPO that you would hear about in, you know, the 80s cyclists, just to get the red blood cells pumping. I actually found a photo on my Instagram of a 4-week supply of needles that I had gone through. So when I was making my first goal list, it was about 2015, 2016, I came across, you know, in inverted commas, self-improvement, you know, the idea that you can improve yourself. I'm not sure if I agree with that, but just to be, you know, improve your circumstances. And it was, they were talking about, put something, you know, you don't have to know how you're going to achieve this. You don't have to know what's going to happen. Just put what you want to happen down there. So scribble down a functioning immune system. So that would mean I'm not taking needles. I'm not taking injections. I'm not taking drugs. I can go on holidays and not have to worry about smuggling through needles that need to be kept at a certain temperature. I wasn't able to get in a flight at the time because my platelets were too low. So just, could we get all that up? No idea what would happen. And I have no idea how it happened, but over the course of the last 5 years, I'm now totally needle-free, totally drug-free. I take a small drug for my thyroid, which is just from radiotherapy. It's shot. When I say no idea how it happened, one of the sort of the 2 principles I would talk about to people, every so often someone will come to me in a similar situation who's had a bad diagnosis or is struggling with their health. The first thing is that a lot of people feel difficult that they have control over a situation. So the first question I would ask anybody is, whatever you, I don't care what your, if it's, you know, if it's your family life or your mortgage or your pension or your health, take any situation. And it's, do you have the control to make it worse? By your actions, can you make this worse? And everybody will say yes, because you can sleep less, you can eat crap food, you can gamble, you can smoke. Everyone has very easy takes control that they can make a situation worse. Once you get someone to accept that, yes, they have the power to make it worse, then it's physics that if you can make something worse, you can also make it better. Whereas if you start with you're in control, there's a lot of resistance straight away. I have personally found that. And then the second thing is, so there's no guarantees with anything, obviously, but just knowing that your actions can make something better. And then the second one is, are you facing the right direction? So I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how many steps you have to go through. I don't care how difficult it is. If you're pointed in the right direction, you're going to get there eventually. And get there doesn't mean, you know, whatever you think it might mean. But one of the big things for me was accepting that I mightn't see my 30th birthday, and that's okay. I'm 34 in 2 months then. But to realize that it's okay if I don't get there, but I'm going to do everything in my power between times to make sure I get there. And that, like that switch came very late on in me. Like I went through an awful lot of treatment and chemo and radiotherapy to get to that point. I'm so impressed by people who can just flip the switch on and change their lifestyles. I had to, you know, I was one of the brutally stubborn ones who fought it to the very end.
So thank you very much for sharing that story. And when you say that people tend to have a hard time accepting that they are in control of a situation, that they can make it better, do you find that part of that could be because it means that they have to accept responsibility?
I certainly didn't want to accept responsibility. Are you telling me that? And I want to preface this with, this doesn't apply to every situation. There are circumstances where things are, I don't know what the language etiquette is here, but there are times when things are just shit. And there's no rationalizing it. There's no way to try and say, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just shit. So I want to preface that first. I personally, for me, don't believe that's the case. I was 24. I was working 60 to 70 hours a week as an engineer. I was really stressed. And then because I was working those hours and I was really stressed and I was 24, then of course I was allowed to go out Thursday, Friday, Saturday night to blow off the stress. That only makes sense.
Mm.
So then you go into work Monday morning, exhausted, going to sleep Sunday night with this fear looming large about the whole week bearing down on you. And then just repeat that for 6 months. And it compounds. So when I look back, it's like, yes, my lifestyle, how I was working, where my mind was at, how I was living, what I was eating or not eating. I mightn't have prevented cancer, but I certainly could have helped the situation.
Was that what was referred to when it was pointed as your own fault, the lifestyle with long days going out and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and maybe not get enough sleep? Were those the three things?
Yeah, and diet, lifestyle, and then just that, I suppose, 24, believing you're invincible, you know, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm losing weight and I have massive lumps in my chest. Maybe I should get this looked at. It's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Mm. You know, just that ignorance of, I don't know if youth is the right word, just ignorance of man, let's call it.
Mm-hmm. During your recovery journey, what kind of role did breath play, and how did your journey start around breath? Because that's a bit of a random one to say, okay, I'm just going to breathe.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
My very, very, very first experience of how powerful it can be was at the end of my first yoga class. And it was just, you know, focus on the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Focus on the breath coming in, focus on the breath going out. And it blocked out everything else. There was like a silence. So I carried that with me when I was having my scans. So when you're lying for 30 minutes with your arms above your head, pondering your very existence, and your mind's, it's like, okay, can you just focus on the breath coming in through your nose? Can you focus on the breath coming out through your nose? So that was the very, very, very first experience. A lot of breath guys have real profound stories of hiking in the Himalayas and meeting a monk and changing their lives. It's like, no, it's like I was listening to a podcast in my bedroom. That's where I first came across it. So it would have been 2017, and I still had all my bone marrow issues, blood issues. And it was a Joe Rogan podcast, 712. Never forget it. Wim Hof. So sitting listening to that. And that's the first ever podcast that I listened to. And I just put it straight back to the start and listened to it again. First of all, Wim's an incredibly charismatic man, and you can just listen to him talk. But secondly, about halfway through it, he started talking about being able to impact your nervous system, taking control of your immune system, being able to affect the T cells in the blood, affecting the bone marrow. And it was one of those moments like, this sounds a lot like what I'm experiencing. And one of the side effects as well, one of the treatments that I credit with saving my life was that it's called graft versus host disease. So my donor, they give me more of her cells with the idea that because my body grew cancer, it doesn't recognize it as a foreign body. So it lets it grow. Whereas my donor cells will see it. Okay, this isn't meant to be here. We'll attack it and kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside to that being is that it can attack your liver, your lungs, you know, it can just run rampant, which is why mm-hmm. kidney transplant patients will be on immunosuppressants forever mm-hmm. so that the transplanted kidney is accepted by the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have rashes on the sides of my body and my arms that can be quite painful. So after the Wim Hof, a lot of my life has been, you know, there's two levels, there's 100 or there's zero. Don't give me anything in the middle. That just doesn't interest me. So I started daily doing the breath work, and I had a lot of sinus problems from radiotherapy. So I'd have had routine sinus infections, and I started daily cold showering. So notice my rashes started dulling down. And with my daily breath work, notice that I was every day clearing stuff from my head, from my sinuses, that I didn't even feel was there. Normally after a couple of weeks, I would feel, I need to do something about this, go to mm-hmm. a doctor. And just over time, bit by bit, rashes died down, sinus infections died down. And I, you know, in and out of that for a couple of months, and then was on an actual in-person Wim Hof workshop. And the guy was also trained in other breath modalities. So he held an hour-long breath work session. And I had never experienced anything like it. It was out of body. It was transformative. I came out of that and was like, you know, what just happened in this hour? So talking to him, and he was saying, oh, you know, did a bit of training, tried this. And again, 100 to zero, it was like, okay, that was fascinating. I need to figure out what was that? Because people need to know about this. What I have just experienced, people need to experience.
Can you give some examples from the workshop? What type of exercises that you did?
Well, this would have been an hour-long breathing session. So it's not something to do driving or, you know, if you're in the middle of your day at work. It's you're lying down with a blanket around you and you're breathing quite intensely. This isn't functional breathing. This isn't how you're meant to breathe. It's breathing for emotional release, for trauma release. You can have real bouts of clarity. You can come across some quite challenging emotions. It's really the gamut of what humans can experience. You can come up against on this. Some people have really challenging come up against things. Some people clear things they've been holding onto for years. For an example, I had a client whose father passed 20 years ago. And on her first breathwork journey, her father was holding her newborn son for the first time. And the father was wearing a coat that they would have flagged him about years previous. So like, if you haven't experienced this, it sounds pretty mental. And I understand that. I'm well aware that this sounds crazy. But that experience kind of opened my, you know, pulled the shutter back of like, okay, we are capable of doing this ourselves without drugs, without hallucinogenics. So from that, I enrolled with Patrick McEwan's Oxygen Advantage training in Galway. Wanted to learn everything I could about the breath. Went in really excited. And immediately I was like, what the hell is this? It was science-based. It was, this is how we're supposed to breathe functionally. Patrick teaches and preaches, you know, I'm now a convert of that, is the importance of functional breathing in day-to-day life. Slowing down the breath through the nose, using the breath as really the foundation that your whole wellness house is built on. So came through that training, and it was, at the time, I nearly actually resented it a little bit, because I wanted this, like, where's the keys to this magic house that's going to give me this experience? So I then went and trained with a separate school for 8 months, and the very vast majority of that was on, we had to do a lot of work on ourselves, going back through your early childhood years, any trauma you'd have picked up, working through, you know, your shadow work. That's the dark side of you, the part of you that can look at someone and call them an asshole and not feel bad about it, which we all have. And anyone that doesn't is a liar. And again, at the start of this, I had so much resistance to it. It was, you know, I didn't sign up to go through my demons. It's like, teach me how to do the bloody breath. On the second, I was actually speaking with a student, and I had told him, I have no interest in healing people's trauma. I have no interest in the emotional side of it. I just want to bring the experience. And on my second guided breathwork that I held, one of the ladies on it just cried from start to finish. A friend of hers had committed suicide. Her friend came to her during the breathwork, talked to her. She just felt like she had cleared years of baggage she was carrying. And at that point, I realized, okay, I need to take this seriously. Because much like we have a mutual connection, Marcus, who's a sales trainer, and he talks about the technique just being this tiny, tiny, tiny little part. You know, mm-hmm. you teach the technique to a monkey. It's the whole other, you know, it's the other 95% where everything comes into play. And much like the breathwork, I could sit you guys down here and give you the framework. This is how you lead a breathwork class, and you'd have the technique down. Mm-hmm. It's not complicated. But through that process, I realized that a lot of those guys didn't know how to functionally breathe. And they were telling students, we're doing a breathing class to learn how to breathe. It's like, no, this is not how you breathe. Like, you don't want to walk around all day taking full belly and chest breaths through the mouth. You'd fall over after 3 minutes. So I realized that there was a huge disconnect between what functional breathing was and then breathing for a, you know, for an experience or to release something or for, you know, I have a client who turns up twice a month for clarity around his business. He just finds that it it switches off the critical thinking brain and lets you get into that truer self. So he can actually, you know, he sits with a pen and paper for 10 minutes after it and just scribbles ideas because it gets past that over analytical, you know, the engineer's training, 2 plus 2 is 4. It moves away from that side of it and gets into the, you know, your actual creative side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where I'm at now, is trying to bring the two together, that one without the other is, to me, isn't the whole package.
Yeah, it's definitely very connected. It's really fascinating. In the run-up to this recording, Martin and I, we were talking, and I think we were also talking about Wim Hof, who you've mentioned. And just out of curiosity, did you also have to run around half naked and jump into freezing rivers?
No. I just choose to do that. That's just a day in my life.
Yeah, because that's what he's famous for, no? The Iceman.
Mm. Yeah. I won't say I do it regularly, but I do it. And it is an incredible experience. And it's actually, this podcast fits in well. I'm doing a self-imposed 28 days of discomfort just to see what I can do with my business. So I don't want to send this email, send it. I don't want to make this call, make it. You know, I don't really want to do this podcast. It's outside my comfort zone, do it. Getting in a freezing cold river will help that a lot.
I like that. I like that sentiment. I think I'm very, very miles away from jumping into even like a 17 degree cold river, anything. But I like the idea of it. And what I really like also around your 28 days of discomfort, it's the consistency. And that tends to be a recurring theme that we pick up on again and again, that consistency is really the red line that goes through everything. Do you also find that with breath work?
Yeah. For me, I'm not sure where to start with this. One of the things that I'm not sure if I'll get edited out, but I just said I was going to take a drink of water. So a side effect of my treatment is that I don't really produce saliva the same as anyone else. So I always carry this big jug and everyone thinks I've been super healthy. But it's also essential for me to keep talking.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to seem like a long tangent into consistency. But I was told that this is, you know, your glands aren't going to repair. You're going to have a dry mouth and that's the way it's going to be, fine. So I've had a lot of gum and teeth issues as a result of the dry mouth because, you know, your saliva protects your teeth, protects your gums. From lying awake at night, I once skinned my tongue because it was stuck to the roof of my mouth. And when I peeled it off, the skin stayed on the roof of my mouth. So through the Oxygen Advantage training, they talked about the importance of nasal breathing. And if you're waking up with a dry mouth, you need to tape your mouth at night. For anyone that's reading this and like me, don't go and buy duct tape and tape your mouth up. Get surgical 3M tape from your pharmacy. Take the first stick off it and then put it over your lips so you're not going to skin your lips in the morning. So I thought, as most people do, this is crazy. Who tapes their mouth at night? But if you're, you know, if you're going to do something, try it. So I started taping my mouth at night. Felt really strange, looked really strange. But I woke up in the morning with a wet mouth. And I woke up the next day with a wet mouth and the next day. And then if I let it go for a night or two, the dry mouth reappears. So it's just having that consistency. You eventually will train your mouth to stay shut. But for me, it's just every night, because if I'd known about this 5 or 6 years ago, I could have prevented the gum damage, the gum recession. But it's the consistency of doing it every day. In terms then of the experiential breathing for me, I just feel like if I don't do it once a week, I feel like I have like a backlog that needs cleared. Like I'm carrying something that just needs flushed out. So I'll either contact guys I've trained with or recordings I have and work through that.
The breath work that you do personally, you just mentioned on a weekly basis, like how long do you kind of assign to that?
The breath work itself, and this would be similar. This isn't a plug, but it is a plug as well. So there's two classes I run Wednesdays and Sundays. And they run about an hour. So the breathwork experience is anywhere from 50 minutes to 60 minutes. And you're lying down, you have a blanket, you're breathing through the mouth. But I would always allocate 90 minutes in case I want to just sit and process what happened, in case I want to sit and journal. Apparently, people who are artistic, it's a really good time to draw, but I'm not artistic, so that's not my thing. I you know, a pen and paper and words would be, would be where I'm more comfortable rather than a paintbrush.
And for people who want to try this out, where can they find more information about your classes?
Oh, well, connect on LinkedIn. I imagine most of your audience are LinkedIn. It's, you know, I'm Sean Doherty, S-H-A-U-N-D-O-H-E-R-T-Y. You can get me through either Martin or Shelga's page, mutual contacts. One of the things you talked about was something that people could take with them and use that they could apply if you're find yourself anxious or find yourself worried. The first thing I would say to someone that says that is that the fact that you know you're anxious and worried puts you ahead of, you know, you're already so far ahead. The fact that you can feel and acknowledge, I am anxious, I am worried, by just sitting with that sensation in and of itself is a huge step. The next one then is the breath is the only tool we have to access the autonomic nervous system. So we can actually... We were designed to stay away from bears and lions and tigers, and that's why we're here today talking, because our ancestors knew that. If you're a highly anxious or stressed person or prone, we all are, just there's different things trigger us. But if you have a routine in the morning that the dishes have to be done before you leave the house, and the dishes aren't done, that stress that you perceive throughout the day because of the dishes will be exactly the same as that lion that's trying to eat you. And the breath is one of the tools that we have to actually tell your body, okay, I'm actually in a really warm, comfortable house. I'm safe. The doors are closed and it's summertime in Ireland, which, you know, doesn't say much, but I'm safe. And the way you do that is by extending the exhale. It sounds so simple. And there's a handful of exercises, probably the most, I don't know if famous is the right word, but well-known would be the technique box breathing. And it's all through the nose. So this is what the Navy SEALs would use. It's what the SAS use. Again, moving away from, getting away from that, I technically need to get this right. So find what works for you. So the one that we would start with is simply breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds. Completely through the nose. So if that's too hard, go 3 seconds, go 2 seconds. If it's too easy, go 5 seconds, go 6 seconds. So what you're doing when you do that through the nose is, first of all, nitric oxide is pooling in your nasal cavity. And we produce that naturally. So when you inhale, you're bringing that into your lungs. Nitric oxide is a vasodilator. So it opens up your lungs, makes it easier to get the blood out and circulated, and it's also an antiviral. And what you're also going to do by the breath holds is you're going to increase your carbon dioxide in the body ever so slightly. When you increase your carbon dioxide in the body, that allows oxygen to be released. To reference Wim Hof, people who do that can hold their breath for a long time. That's because they have expelled carbon dioxide. It's not that they're getting in more oxygen. So with the carbon dioxide out, they feel that they can hold, they can hold their breath longer. Mm-hmm. But when you push up the carbon dioxide a little bit, you're releasing oxygen to the cells. And then with the longer exhale, the 4 second exhale, you're massaging the vagus nerve, which runs from the brainstem down into the gut. And that's the nerve that tells your body whenever you prolong the exhale. And if you can hum it, even better, just you're just telling that nerve, I'm safe, we're in a safe environment, things are okay, I'm not going to be eaten by a bear. And that will just slow the system down. I actually, if anyone's interested, you can put my email address in the show notes. I have a 4-minute recording that's quite, it's challenging, but it'll increase your carbon dioxide, and it's a really good down regulator if you can't sleep, for focusing on the breath, for building up carbon dioxide in the body to get the oxygen out. It's a down regulator. It's not like the Wim Hof breathing. It's not going to bring you up. It slows things down. It'll warm your hands. You'll feel flush at the end of it. But it's quite a powerful tool.
Yeah, that sounds
that's
great.
For sure, that's for sure something we will link to, because that's one of those very pragmatic tools that we are looking for through this podcast series. So what are some of the changes that you see in people that you have worked with after a while?
Again, it's going to sound far-fetched because there is such a gamut. On the functional side of things, on the functional side of breathing, so when you're going through the 3 or 4 weeks, now it's a lifetime of practice, but you get the tools, it's 3 or 4 weeks with me. You're more than welcome to come back more than that. But beyond that, we're just repeating the same information, doing the same tests. Whenever someone's having a panic attack, it's real fast breathing. What you'll see, I don't know if you'd have seen it, but you know, the brown paper bag, putting the paper bag over the mouth to breathe in. So what the reason for that is that they're just capturing the carbon dioxide that they're breathing out and then they're breathing it back in. So that carbon dioxide is allowing the oxygen to be released to the cell level. So the cells get oxygen, so the body calms down. It's like, can you reduce the breathing? So on the functional side, the biggest, with the clients I'm working with, it would be slowing down the breathing, realizing that if they do these exercises, they can quieten the mind. To see some of the faces at the end of a class, and I say, it's not comfortable exercises. You know, it's you're challenging yourself. Your body wants to breathe more during this. But one of the ladies just said, I feel still. And to be able to bring that to someone who is high functioning, high, you know, go, go, go. And I, you know, I talk about slowing down, but I'm sitting here with a list of things to do today in front of me. So there's that eternal dichotomy or paradox of I need to relax, but I need to relax right now. I've got 10 minutes to relax. On the functional side, it's giving people the tools that they can calm themselves down, that they're breathing more efficiently, they're sleeping sounder. I don't actually know these clients firsthand, but I gave a talk for a lady in Egypt. It was just a, you know, it was an overview talk and gave the same sort of stuff here. We did a couple of exercises and said, tape your mouth. And some of the feedback was just incredible. You know, people saying that they're waking up in the morning feeling refreshed for the first time in their life from just taping their mouth, because they're now breathing through their nose, which means they're breathing slower, which means that oxygen is getting to the cells versus breathing fast and shallow all night long, which is causing, you know, upper airway friction, upper airway damage. And then to move away from the functional side to the conscious connected breathing, that's the more experiential stuff. Everything from, again, it almost sounds unbelievable. One lady said that she had cleared stuff she didn't know she was holding on to. And that, and I'm directly quoting here, that gave her the confidence to leave her job at Christmas where she was being paid £120 a week. She has since started an online women's only boot camp and has 330 people paying her 40 quid a month this month.
Wow.
And I get a message every so often saying, if it wasn't for that, and she was just one of my like first students, like, oh, would you mind giving me an hour to try this on you? And she said that like she cried the whole way through it. Guys saying that they have focus, clarity, it just gives them time to down-regulate. Part of the reason for the breathwork class on a Sunday is, can you just bookend the week? You know, that's done. Can you close it out and start afresh for the new week? It won't work so well if you're listening to this in a Muslim country or Jewish, because your week starts Saturday night, Sunday morning. But for everyone else, like that was the idea behind it. And for me personally, it is just that feeling of, there's a buildup of gunk that I need to, and I actually had a new student on Wednesday night who just joined as a sample. And he just said, whenever your computer's running really slowly and you need to just switch it off and clear all the crap and then switch it back on. He said, that's what I feel like. That's the two sides of the breathing. One is the tools and the other is the experiential.
How long is the time between they turn up to they give you that feedback?
The guy with the computer feedback, 70 minutes from start to finish.
that is not much. I would have maybe expected some months or so with more exercises and so on.
With the actual tool, with the Oxygen Advantage training, that's, you're talking weeks and months of, you know, to see noticeable results, but you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it as you're doing it because it's challenging, but for the long term.
Yeah.
But that's like one of the dangers, not dangers, but with the experiential, and I try and underpin this, is do not come in with expectations. Do not come in trying to move mountains or to experience. It's like, we're not trying to achieve anything. Like our bodies are these incredible tools, and they hold on to everything. So we're just breathing to breathe, and whatever needs to come up will come up. And that's the same. Like whenever I was first taught on the health journey about your body, you know, if you fall and cut your knee, you don't worry about it. You know it's going to heal. So why should cancer be any different? Why should, you know, anything else inside you be any different? It's the same thing. So it's not that breath work or green juices or fresh air or exercise is going to kill cancer. What these all do is they strengthen your body. They improve the body, and then the body heals itself. Mm-hmm. So with each action you're taking, you know, again, it's cliched, like business life, you're not really standing still. So are you either improving or are you taking away with everything you put into your mouth, with everything you're reading, with what you're, you know, feeding yourself mentally, physically, spiritually? Are you strengthening the body or are you weakening it? Because I promise you, you're not staying the same.
Yeah, because that is essentially a choice every time you do something, every time you either try and sleep for the right amount of time, or you prioritize to sleep less with the food that you eat within the next 6 hours, with what you drink. Everything will either add to it or remove.
And I've tried loads of different things, and people say, but how do you know? It's like, well, I don't. I try it. And if I feel better, I keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, then I stop doing it. I eat whole food, plant-based diet. That's not for everybody. If you try it and you feel terrible, stop doing it. You know, but just be aware, like, are you eating what's right for you? And the same with the breath work. And it's not for everybody. You know, if you're pregnant, if you are, you know, if you suffer from epilepsy, if you have really bad heart, this breathing isn't going to, you know, it's not for you because of the nature. And it comes in much like Wim Hof, like the cold water. You're putting your body under a bit of stress for a while, because when you trigger that stress intentionally over time, the body learns, okay, we're doing this bit of stress. And then when you encounter stress later on, like if you get into a freezing cold lake, Shelga, in the morning, that's a lot of stress in your body. So if you have an inverted commas stressful meeting at 1 o'clock, the idea is that over time your body's like, well, she put me in that lake at 7:30 this morning. So this meeting's easy.
So you build up resilience, basically. Resistance and resilience. And do you find that the breath work is helping you to stay more present, more in the moment?
Oh, massively. Massively. And one of the things that a big part of one of our trainings was something, and again, this took me a long time to stop resisting. I hated it. So anybody listening who thinks this isn't for me, you know, you're my people. but I'm now a fan. So it's something called the felt sense meditation. And all this meditation is you lie down, you completely relax, and you're just being aware of what comes up in your body. It's like, my fingers are a little bit cold now. I've been talking for almost an hour, so I'm, you know, exhaling carbon dioxide, so the oxygen isn't getting to where it needs to be. So at 6'4". And earlier on, I had butterflies in my, you know, so the idea behind the felt sense is if I said something that you disagree with, can you get out of your head and drop into your body and just feel, oh, he said that and I felt that in my chest. I felt that in my, I felt a ball in my stomach. Or, you know, she walked into the room and my heart lifted. You know, can you just drop? So for me, the breath work with that felt sense, and I am by no means you know, I am level one, you know, level one of Super Mario. That's where I'm at. You know, I'm nowhere near the big castles yet, but I'm also aging myself by that reference, but still. But that tool, along with the breath, to just sit and stay. And that has been feedback that has come from people who do the Sunday classes, that they find themselves stressed and they just say, you know, can you just come back to the breath? And that's not the intention of the Sunday classes, but it will impact differently.
Can you speak a bit to creating a habit around breath work? So not the Wim Hof work, I guess, but more, how would you advise people to apply this to their daily lives? Or is it even something that you would advise without have being on one of your classes, for instance?
If you want to speak French or learn the guitar, YouTube is there. There is an abundance of information. And Patrick McKeown, who heads up the Oxygen Advantage, like their website, their YouTube channel has tons of exercise. They actually have a free app, the Botego. I think it's the Botego app. Mm-hmm. Tons of exercises to do. From a habit point of view, I start my morning with Wim Hof breathing, three rounds of Wim Hof breathing. Same thing, clears my sinuses, resets down. Sometimes I will do 30 or 40 breaths through the mouth and then just journal, see what comes up. Can you just free write? But in terms of making it a habit, for me personally, there's no easy way to do it. Some guys are just methodical productivity monsters. That's not me. I have to fight. I'll miss days. I'll get back on the horse. But for me, a big thing is realizing that if you miss a day, that's fine. Don't throw the whole thing out because you missed a day.
Mm. No.
Just chalk it up and don't berate yourself on the day. If you take a day off, take it off, switch off completely. Don't spend your day thinking, I need to. Because then you're ruining your day off. It's like, if you're taking a day off, just like, that's it, nothing today. I am sitting on the sofa with my hands down my pants, and that's it. And don't guilt yourself over that. And then the next day, let's go again.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And speaking of days where, you know, you don't want to do something, I read somewhere on your LinkedIn about this tool that you've got, the plus one day, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I thought that really resonated with me. Could you share a little bit about that as well?
Like most things in my arsenal, I have stole this from somebody else. There's very little new out there. So the idea of the plus one day is, if it's your, you know, your cold calls or your gym workout or your green juice and you don't want to do it. So if you do it that day, not only have you kept on track, but you're actually a day ahead of yourself. So every day you don't want to do something, but you do it, you are now a day ahead of the version of you that didn't do it. So if you do that 5 times in a month, that is, you're 5 days ahead of someone. So it's not just, oh, I did my workout today. It's like, no, that is effectively 2 workouts I have done today because I did that one and I don't have to do another one to catch up to where I was. It's a very small thing, but it's just one of those little mental games I play with myself.
And I like it. It does give that that kind of perspective around, also when they say you shouldn't try to change everything, but just try to improve a tiny little bit every day, like 1% or even less, then, you know, a year from now, you're, I'm terrible with maths, but probably 100% better.
No, if you do a percent, like Marcus has this figure off the top of his head, and I actually did it in a spreadsheet for him one time, and of course he remembers the figures and I don't. But 1% a day for just a working year, which is about 240 days, I think is 250-odd% better, I think. I'll have to work this out again. But if you do it every single day, you're over 300% better.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's a great reminder. It just also gives that perspective. Yeah, I like it. And so for any of our listeners that are wondering, I mean, we're going to share your contact details and we'll also put the link in the show notes and
the
information
email
around your breathing classes. But you also just mentioned something around people that are working with you around a 3 or 4 week spin or course or something. Do you have something that you're offering for anyone who's interested?
Yeah, at the minute I have limited one-on-ones. and I'm building classes. So that would be around companies, gyms. And one of the hardest parts of this is people say, you know, what are the benefits? And you list them out. And it's just, he's making this stuff up. It's like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. There's no way. So it's trying to frame it in a way that, okay, this will improve your focus, your concentration, your sleep. It'll increase your heart rate variability. You'll recover faster from exercise. You will perform better. It's like, it can improve your sexual function if you're a man.
You know, it's very popular.
It's just this. It's like, yeah, okay. Most people just go piss off. You know, this is full of, you're full of shit. So it's framing it around that, but it's getting away from the, I'm going to see results at 5:30 today, mm-hmm. because you're not. And it does take work. And I say the 3 weeks is, it's an hour a week. I'm building it at the minute with sort of groups of 8+, but open to any, you know, reach out to me. And it starts off the first half an hour, 45 minutes is, it's the science. It's why you're doing this. Because for me, if someone tells me to do something and I don't know why I'm doing it, it's not happening. Once I understand, okay, this is what happens when I do this and this is why it happens, therefore this is the benefit, I have a much higher chance of applying it to my life. And then it's exercises for the last half an hour of the first class. The second class then gets a little bit more difficult. It's 50 minutes to an hour of exercises, the same as week 3. And we're just measuring scores, checking on how people are feeling. Have they been nasal breathing? Have they been, you know, how is it applied to them? Are they noticing themselves more present? Because just by slowing down your breathing and paying attention to it, all there is this, you know, again, such a cliche, but all there is this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like 1 o'clock doesn't exist. Like it's now 11:11 my time. So, and that's all I have. So right now, this is fine. So if I can just focus on the breath and be here with Martin and Shelga, that's good.
Perfect, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Shelga, do you have more questions?
I could probably ask many more questions, but I also realize that we've talked for quite a while and I've taken a lot of your time already. So
I'm happy to answer if you have questions.
What I will do is whenever we've got guests on, we're keen to try out things. So I think I'm going to be joining one of your Sunday or there were Fridays and Sundays, right?
Wednesdays and Sundays.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be joining one of your Sunday sessions to try it out for myself. I'm very excited about that.
No excitement, no expectations.
No, that's right. Okay.
Do not be excited. Just show up.
I want you coming as stoical as a cow in the rain. Just.
I'll work on that until Sunday. Martin, how about you? Are you joining on Sunday?
Not this Sunday, but I will join a Sunday or Wednesday. I think this has been super fascinating to listen to. I'm just thinking of the expectations I had before, and I think you touched on a few of them where you wanted to, you know, what is this really about? And I think you have answered that super well. And even though we are meant to not be excited about trying it out, I actually am now, because I think this falls into a lot of the things that we think of, that we deal with, and can turn into be one of these super efficient tools that we want to have in our mental health toolbox. So Sean, I really want to thank you for your time. Also for your very honest and personal story that you shared in the beginning. I also want to thank you for, I think you have given a lot of words and tactics on perspective on the two first ones you gave in the beginning around, could you do it? Could you make it worse for yourself? Mm. And are you heading in the right direction? Are very, very powerful, I think. So thank you for those as well. So we want to make sure that we add the things that you recommended to our update when we share that. Yeah. So Shelga, any other final comments from you?
No, couldn't agree more. Thank you so much for joining our podcast, for giving us your time today, and we'll breathe together very soon.
Yes, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
That was so corny. Okay.
No, that's what we say. That's what we say. I get messages from girls in flipping Egypt. It's like, you know, are you breathing tonight? It's like, yeah, let's breathe tonight.
I love that. That's a great closing sentiment. All of our listeners, have enjoy your breath tonight.